ready for the word? Amen, amen. Years and years ago. This is from the Tuskegee Institute. It said, now, how I'm starting off is just kind of weird, but just roll with it. It's talking about lynching just in this nation. Over 3,400 blacks were lynched, and almost 1,300 whites were lynched at that time in this nation. And it occurred between 1882 and 1968. Everyone who risked their lives in that, I'm thankful for. I mean, even though all that stuff was done out of the spirit of hatred, but just the fact that they were able to stand up against that stuff and for their faith and for just their livelihood, just their civil rights was awesome. And I'm mostly thankful for all the whites that chose to put their lives on the line for that. Because when they were telling them certain things that you couldn't do, they helped to educate. They helped them to read and write. They helped them to learn another trade or what have you. I said, they put their lives on the line to help other blacks. And then, you know, 1,300 of them lynched. You know, the Bible says that there is no greater love than this, than to do what? Lay your life down for another. There is no greater love than that. And see, and so if we're in relationships where one person just wants you to lay their life down for you, but they don't want to lay their life down for you, probably should get out of that relationship. It's kind of one-sided there. You want it to both go both ways and stuff. So, but they risk their lives to help others to be educated, treated them as human beings, not as properties and not as animals. And I'm thankful for that, because that happened not just for blacks, that happened in all other nations, Native American Indians. I said, that happened. We don't ever want to be a nation that said that goes back to that type of stuff ever, ever. And the way we overcome that is through the gospel. Because we don't put the color of our skin over who we are, who we are in Christ. We're a Christian first. You're not going to spend an eternity because of the color of your skin. It's because of who you accepted into your heart. Amen. So if we claim to be a Christian nation, then how can we allow so much evil to happen in this nation? Remember, Jesus gave us all power, all authority. And this is stuff that's going on our watch today, and as you're seeing stuff unfold, even in the political realm and all the ungodliness that's going on there, it's crazy. You just can't stand back. This is when we need to pray. This is when we need to call those things out. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. We all have a part that we play. As insignificant as we may think it is a part. Some of you are here because one person was praying for you. And they continued to pray for you and believe and trust God. And you didn't even know that person. But they just continued to pray for you, speak life over you. Persecution doesn't really happen much in this nation before our faith and our beliefs and stuff like that, but it does happen all around the world. And for societies, hatred for Jesus and for believers all around. So how can anyone oppose us if we're quiet, if we're just nonchalant about it, if we just don't give a care in the world? No one will oppose us. You got to have that opposition so that the authority and power of Christ, you got to have that fear for faith to be exercised in your life. So there's a time to be quiet, and there's a time to speak. And when the Lord tells you to speak, speak. When the Lord tells you to speak, speak and do it unapologetically. So the enemy is a flat-out bully. There's a story of a pastor. Isaiah, can you give me that? Yeah, that stand, please. There's a story of a pastor who talks about how, you know, the enemy is a bully. There's a bully on the playground. And this bully was going, he made a list, composed a list of all the people that he can beat up. And that list got passed around from person to kid, and it came across little Tommy. Tommy's like, wait a minute, my name's on this list. I know so-and-so can't beat me up, and he went and confronted so-and-so. He's like, hey, man, you got my name on this list. You can't beat me up. I know that. And he goes, oh, let me take it off then. See, when you confront the devil, he's going to take your name off because you know he can't bully you. He can't beat you up. And when the world wants to try to confront you, you know good and well they ain't operating in nothing but fear and hatred. And you overcome that with faith and love. Because faith works by love. If you know who you are in Christ, the enemy can't beat you up. He won't be able to get you to do what he wants you to do. Why? Because of your confidence in God. Jesus is our solid rock. He's our solid rock. In Hebrews 10:32, it says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown in jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings to you. The struggle that believers were going through at that time was real. It's the struggle that we sometimes go through. It's real. The struggle is real. You may hear that all the time. But you know what? So is Jesus. God is real. He's so real in our lives. But in the end, it's all worth it. Even whatever struggle we go through, when we come out of that, it's all worth it because we're going to come out better. The obedience that you have to God and his word trumps anything that the world can give you. God's word is a what? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He illuminates that path. The steps that we take that are ordered from him, we do it in confidence because your trust is in him. Sometimes we can have this little war that we got going on. I don't know if God's going to do it this time. Yet he's done it time after time after that. Well, this is really, really big. No, it's not. It's no thing at all. I heard somebody say cancer ain't nothing for God. That's nothing. Death is nothing. To be honest with you, it's nothing. You're not the only one who thinks that way. There were others around, even in Scripture. I don't know if God's going to do it. I said, because the writers in the Bible had to remind the believers what God had done in the past. Time and time again throughout Scripture, he had to remind them what God has done throughout this world, from the beginning of time to the end. He's reminding them, your God is faithful. He is faithful to watch over those things that he says. He is faithful to bring the past. He is faithful to answer your prayers. He is faithful to heal you. He is faithful to deliver you. He is faithful for all these things. And yet, sometimes we do this ourselves. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We're like the only species of God that he's created, of all of his creation, that actually worry. Animals don't worry. We worry, and we're created in his image. They know they're going to get fed. We know we're going to get fed, but we still worry. His word illuminates our path. God speaks through us, to us, through his word. He speaks to us through his word. If you want to know what he is saying, then you have to open up your Bible and begin reading. We have this unbelievable opportunity to hear the voice of God every single time we open up his word. We have that opportunity to hear from him when we're in prayer. We have that opportunity to hear from him when we're just out and about in the public. We have this great relationship with him. We don't always have to be down and out. And I think sometimes we kind of like the attention. But that attention is supposed to be put on him. We bring people to Jesus, not to us. Not to us. There is no other God that is like him. With all the storms that has been coming our way in the world. How many, last time we had that storm watch, how many of you were outside speaking to it? Come on. Come on, we need to get more. But guess what? My neighbor was talking, and he was on the radio receiver, what have you, and he was listening. He said, yeah, there was a funnel that was trying to come down, and it went back up. I said, come on now. I was outside. Kristen was in Topeka. What's going on, storm? I said, I used to run in the basement. I don't anymore. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. You're not coming here to tear up these houses. No way. We need more believers out there. You're not doing it in your own power. You're doing it in the power and authority that he has given you. That's not, well, you're just arrogance. No, that's confidence in God. It doesn't have a right to do these things. And we'll put more emphasis, whatever the media shows us, whatever the media tells us, this is kind of how we start migrating. This is what we end up talking about. And I've seen this one thing. It just flashed by. I seen it for like a split second, and it may not even be what it was said, but it was funny because, you know, there was so much flooding going on in other countries and stuff. And then you see this picture of a few people carrying their little statues on their shoulders through the waters. They're little gods. See, they have to save their God. Their God couldn't save them. See, our God saves us because we serve the one true living God. We ain't got to carry us on our shoulders. We don't have to carry him on our shoulders. We don't have to do that. So we are not to get impatient with what God wants us to do. If we continue to do his will, there will be a great reward for us. And we have to have that confidence. If you're a leader in any particular area, what have you, at your job or at school, what have you, you're a leader. Your confidence has to be in the Lord. Because when it is, you begin to stand out. Not because you're trying to make yourself stand out. It's just a confidence that you have. People will begin to look towards you because you have the word ready. Elijah. Some of y'all know Elijah. He had this battle with 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. 850. He has this showdown. I love the showdown. If you've never read it, read 1 Kings chapter 18. It's an awesome showdown. It's funny. I mean, I think it's funny because they were just trying to show out. They built this altar, put wood on it, cut the bull in half. All this stuff, they did all this, and he's like, you know what? Call out to your God, I'll call it to mine. And if your God comes, and whoever comes and brings fire down and licks that up, then we'll know who's the one true God. You know, and Ahab didn't like Elijah because Elijah was just doing some things that he just couldn't understand. Ahab ended up calling Elijah a troublemaker. You know, it's okay to be a troublemaker for God. If you're a troublemaker for yourself, there's a problem. It's okay to be a troublemaker for God than for yourself. Elijah went up against 850 facing them. Elijah didn't doubt God, not one second during that time. Not one second. And see, you may be in a place to where you say, I never doubt God, but it might be that you might be doubting God to use you in a mighty way. I don't doubt God, but I doubt that God can use me because of my past. No, he can. He can. Trust me, he can. It's throughout scripture. He didn't use perfect people. Moses was a stutterer. He didn't use perfect people. Everyone in the Bible throughout that would play the major parts in scriptures, there was something wrong with them. So if you don't think that God can use you in a mighty way, take that out of your head, get that out of your mind, and realize that you are one of the most qualified ones. because he qualifies you. Your confidence in God can help others in their faith. When they see you getting bold about what his word says, it will infuse them to get into the word for themselves to find out more about what he says. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to read that a little bit. Their God was a no-show. They were calling out to their God. Elijah was like, maybe he's asleep. You might have to yell a little louder. He was clowning them. It says, then Elijah called to the people. Come over here. Check this out, man. They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood. This didn't happen. I mean, this took some time because he knew what was getting ready to happen. He was just milking it. After they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now do it a third time. So they did as he said. And the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. That wasn't a very long prayer, was it? That's not a long prayer. And sometimes we think we need to have an hour prayer session for God to do something in our lives. God just wants you to be sincere. He wants you to be transparent. You can say 5 words. I said 5 words and prayers get answered. Y'all know I don't talk much, but I can say certain things and just be so specific with it. Elijah's true desire was that people would know the one true God. It wasn't about him, but it was about bringing a nation back to God. So immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. They turned to God in that moment. That nation turned to God because God showed up like Elijah said that he would. And it was to bring them back to a nation, to bring that nation back to God. Well, if you continue to read in 2 Kings in chapter 17, they turned back to their old ways. That was an ongoing thing. They turn to God, they turn away from God. Turn to God, turn away from God. Thank God for repentance today, though. But see, again, God is not slack, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. When your confidence is in God, he shows up. And God is the only one who truly gets the glory. I pray that God shows up mightily in your life in this season and in the next season and in the season after that. And if the Lord should tarry some more, the season after that, that he continues to show up mightily in your life. Every day gets better with him. Every day. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal towards him. See, when you stand strong in your faith, your confidence in God begins to grow. Your confidence in his comfort for you is magnified. Your confidence to lead others to Christ becomes more and more challenging, but also more rewarding. because God is trusting you with more complicated problems. You don't always have to fly under the radar. I know about flying under the radar. I can fly under the radar if I want to. Sometimes God doesn't want us to fly under the radar. It's not to glorify yourself, it's to glorify Him. But He's going to put you on that stage. The gospel is for the poor, not for the rich. The gospel is for the sick, not the healed. The gospel is for the lost, not the redeemed. The gospel is for those that are brokenhearted. The gospel is for those that are running from their problems. Well, Pastor Tim, I'm not sick. I'm not broke. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm saved. I'm set free. I'm redeemed. So you mean to tell me the gospel isn't for you? No, the gospel is for you because that's how you got there, because of what Jesus did for you. But see, now that you're there, go and find somebody else that needs the gospel. Go and find somebody else that is poor and tell them what Jesus did for their poverty. Go and find somebody that was sick and tell them what Jesus did for their sickness and disease. Go and find somebody that is brokenhearted and tell them how He heals and restores the broken heart. What we're called to do. Sometimes we just save it for the pastor to do it on Sundays, but God made 7 days. We come here to get equipped to worship corporately. You know, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. You can't have the gospel of peace without the full armor of God on. Your feet are prepared in the gospel. True confidence in God. Jesus being that solid rock. It's not our jobs. It's not our family members. It's Jesus. Has the Lord really let you down in any time in your life? Now, there may be times where you've been disappointed on certain things. I wouldn't say disappointed. I was upset for a little bit until I heard the truth. Because I know what I did with my dad. The power hit him so hard. I mean, just right through him. How come? Well, when I got the story, I knew he was ready to go. I couldn't override that. That was his will. I didn't end up backing down from that, though. And sometimes we can allow those instances in our lives to keep us from pressing in. We may have a little setback, but it's a minor setback for a major comeback. God wants to do extraordinary things in everybody's life in here. And if you haven't even seen that yet, be patient, because it's coming. The world needs the church today. All of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. You don't get there by not having confidence in Him and His word. What do we do about this? Another tornado's coming. Let's go. Giddy up. Pico's Bill, man. Gonna go ride that tornado. Still one of my favorite books. Just growing up as a child. Y'all know Pico's Bill? Okay, see? Pretty awesome. Greater is He that is in you. You walk tall. You walk straight because of your confidence in God. And you don't back down 1 second from what situations may come. That's just another opportunity to use your faith. That's another opportunity to use the word. That's another opportunity to get in agreement with your family, with the people are around you. That's another opportunity to show God's goodness in every situation. Confidence in him. So we don't ever get to the place to where we doubt God. And if you do, I said you can have doubts, but don't allow those doubts to get in your heart, because that's going to taint what comes out of your mouth. You may be believing the Lord for something and then over here cancel it out the next day. And then you're wondering why God, this isn't manifesting in my life. You canceled it out. The birds of the air can catch what you're saying and take it. I don't know what scripture that is, I believe, but I think that's in Ecclesiastes. Seriously, you got to watch what you say around certain things, because all of heaven and all of hell is listening. Satan don't know what you do. He doesn't know your heart. He doesn't know your mind, but he knows what comes out of your mouth. And we can talk ourselves out of a blessing. We can talk ourselves out of healing. We can talk ourselves out of deliverance. We can talk ourselves out of good relationships. We can talk ourselves out of promotion. We can talk ourselves out of everything. Talk ourselves out of the love of God. We can talk ourselves out of the good that God has done for us. Don't cancel out what God has placed on the inside of you and the stuff that you've been already reading. That seed needs to germinate. That seed needs to be watered. That seed needs to grow. And when it grows, those roots are going to go down first into you, and then it's going to come out. But the deeper it grows, you may not be seeing, man, I've been watering this thing for a long time. I haven't seen any kind of results whatsoever. I said, it's still growing down first. So when it pops up, it's going to spring up very, very quickly. Confidence in him. When you pray, you're confident that the Lord hears you and that your prayers are going to get answered according to his will. It almost makes you happy. Think about it. I know I'm getting ready to get down, get into the word. Lord, I got my scriptures. I got what I'm going to confess, written it out or what have you. And it could be a long one. It could be a short one. But when you know you're getting ready to just give a word and then you're just getting praying, I said, you got that confidence. Oh, yeah. Prayer time. Let's go. You know you're being attacked when you don't want to pray, when you don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to spend time with the Lord, you're being attacked. Sometimes you're going to have to fight that, fight against it and come against it and be like, no, we're doing this. Be overjoyed. When you get ready to pray, sometimes we don't pray with that confidence. It's like, I don't know if God's going to do this. Now you know he will. He hears you. But it might be that maybe we didn't do the last thing that he told us to do. And so we don't pray with full confidence. I told you to do that last time. How come you haven't finished that out yet? Okay, Lord, let me go back and do it. And then come back. And now you can pray with that confidence again, because he tells us to boldly come to the throne of grace. We have that confidence in him. So you never have to doubt what God wants to do in your life ever again. You might, if that opportunity comes up, but you don't have to. Now, what are you and your husband getting in agreement with? Who are you getting in agreement with? Get in agreement, begin to dream again. Start dreaming. If you stopped, get right back at it, start dreaming. You ain't done yet. God ain't done with you yet. He needs you in these last days. The nation, this world, these unbelievers, they need you in these last days. So what he's put in your heart, those desires that he's placed in your heart, continue to dream. You want to get remarried? Continue to dream. I wrote out how I wanted my wife to be. Blue spiral notebook. Caramel complected. Athlete's got to be tall. She was dark. She had a tan. She just got a tan recently at the lake. Now she's an 8 on one side and just a 0 on the other. She got burnt, man. Dream again. What can you envision yourself doing? Dream again. It doesn't stop. It doesn't ever stop. If Jesus says, while you're in this world, you're going to have trouble, man, you better dream. Because otherwise, all your focus is going to be on the troubles that's coming. Dream. And give those troubles a Heisman, stiff arm. Not today. Not today. Yeah, I see you coming. Now I'm going to just shut the door. Peace. Dream. Don't be afraid to do that. And don't cancel it out with this. Dream. Father God, we thank you for the capacity that you have given us to dream, to imagine, to use our minds in a productive manner, Lord. We thank you for new, witty ideas and inventions. Inventions that's never been invented yet, Lord. We thank you that this group has that capacity to do that, Lord. We thank you for the hearts and minds that are yielded to you, that we can go out there with that boldness that your prophets have done time after time after time. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.